This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rohn.
On today's broadcast, our topic is personal prophecy. Personal prophecy is thought to be God's heart to your ear, God's mouth to your ear. Now, not all Christians value or believe in personal prophecy, but as I see it, it's in the Bible and it's real. But what can happen from the time it is delivered to you, a personal prophecy, and you actually see the prophecy fulfilled in your life? Today, Dennis Kramer teaches from the Bible examples of what can happen from the time you receive the prophecy to the time it's fulfilled. Or what should you do or what can you do until you see the prophecy fulfilled? Today, we will focus on various highlights of Dennis's teaching. So here he is as we jump right into the middle of his teaching for the second part, Dennis Kramer.
Let me prove that to you. Joseph had two prophetic dreams. In the prophetic dreams, God said, Joseph, you're going to end up way over here. Way over here. You're going to end up way over here. You're going to be the top dog. Hallelujah. The chief star and the chief stalk of grain. How many remember that story? Right? God failed to mention a few of the details. Joseph was tested in the very area that his prophetic dreams revealed. The other stars tried to kill him. The other stalks of grain tried to take him out. Get what I'm saying? The other stalks of grain didn't worship him. The other stars didn't bow down. They tried to take him out. They were first going to, then they sold him. Get what I'm saying? His two dreams didn't come to pass. They were first tested before they came to pass. Are you getting me? I'm going to talk about David in just a minute. But David was tested in the very area that God spoke to him about. Are you hearing me? David was tested in the very area that God spoke to him about. And so, not only will you, but are you. You, as God's men and women, you're being tested in the very area that God has spoken to you about. I've got some things in my life that ain't happening, and I don't like it. And there's nothing I can do about it except hang in there. You know why? Because God has everything under control. I'm active, I'm fruitful, I'm productive, I'm successful. But I'm being tested in some of the very things that God has spoken to me about. And so are some of you. There's nothing wrong with you. You're just being tested. Isn't that awesome? And so, would you like to know why you're being tested? Good. I now want to talk about two words, now and then, now and then. So, God often gives you a prophecy now to help you through those upcoming difficult financial times then. Remember, I just prophesied over you prosperity. Prosperity, come on. So God gives you a prophetic word now to help you through those upcoming difficult financial times then. So I want you to see the words now and then. Remember, and I'm going to say this reverently, but I want to shock you with this. God is not an idiot. Some Christians, some people preach he's an idiot. God is not an idiot. He's not going to tell you something now that you're not going to need later. He's going to tell you exactly what you need to know now for later. In fact, in the prophetic, that's what I believe I do. I give you stuff now because you're going to need it later. God's not an idiot. He's not wasting his time or wasting his words. He knows precisely what you are going to go through then. And so he plans your personal prophecies around that now. Isn't that awesome? You look back on your life. You've got personal prophecies in your life that were given then that are affecting you now. God is going to speak to you now, this afternoon, and those personal prophecies are going to have a great bearing then. now and then. God speaks for a reason. He doesn't waste His words. And so the very areas that are causing you the most frustration, I guarantee you, you've got personal prophetic words about those areas. And you're just being tested. There's nothing wrong. Now, I am going to tweak that statement in just a few minutes because some of you need to do more with your prophecies than you're doing. Okay, so from personal experience, in my life, I had numerous prophecies that said this. I mean, this was like a season of time in my life. It lasted, I want to say, 6 or 7 years. Wherever I went, here's what everyone prophesied over me. Oh, promotion, Denny. Promotion. I just see promotion all over you. Promotion, promotion, promotion. Okay, praise the Lord. When I look at you, Denny, I see new level. I just see new level, new level, new level, new level, new level. Okay, hallelujah. I began to actually get a complex. I thought maybe I was the idiot, you know? Because God kept repeating Himself. And then He kept saying, and by the way, don't worry about your finances. I just see you, Denny, and the Lord says, don't worry about your finances. And I just see, Denny, that the Lord would say, regarding your finances, He's going to prosper you. Don't worry about them. So the Lord would say, promotion, 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 new level, new level, new level. Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry about your finances, finances, finances. And I mean, for a 6 or 7 year period of time, this is all I heard. And one day I went to God. And I said, God, I got to be real honest. I don't know how else to be a Christian. I'd be honest with God. If He's my dad, I should be able to be honest. So I said, God, I want to be honest. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, so maybe You're repeating these things to me because I'm not getting it. But I get it. You're telling me promotion. Okay. You're telling me new level. Great. But why do You keep telling me don't worry about finances? You know I'm not. We're doing all right. We're prospering, actually. So why do You keep telling me the same thing over and... Uh-oh. Then I remembered my own teaching. That God often speaks in times of peace to give you something for times of war. And on the heels of those prophetic words, I had a man come into my life who betrayed me, sat me down one night and said, you're no longer on the salary of the church. We're firing you as you sit there. We'll make you a missionary, but everything else is going to go away. In a meeting, never had a discussion with the man. He just arbitrarily fired me. And I lost everything I had worked 20 years for in the ministry. That's when I remembered promotion, new level, and don't worry about your finances. You know what God did? He restored and increased all the finances. I went to a new level, and I have experienced a promotion in the things of God. Just like God said. And so I want you to get this. I want you to get this. God knows exactly what you need to hear. Someone say amen. And so, let's look now at these Bible examples again. Let's look at the three Bible characters or examples of God speaking prophetically in their now for the purpose of getting these individuals through some difficulties later or then. Let's look at Joseph. His natural circumstances actually reversed immediately after his two prophetic dreams. And the same thing has happened to some of you. Some of you think, I've missed it. Some of you think my prophecies were wrong. Some of you think someone else has missed it. Someone else's prophecies are wrong. Why? Because as soon as you heard from God, your life has gone in the exact opposite direction that the prophecy referenced. Hear me well, leaders. This is common. You got that? This is common. Why? Because you're being tested. In the life of Joseph, I didn't say it was fun. I said it was common. I didn't say you will enjoy it. I said it was common. I didn't say you'll understand it. I said it was common. You're going to be tested. In the life of Joseph, I want you to get this. In the life of Joseph, God left out a few minor details in Joseph's prophecies. A few minor details. And we'll get to them in just a minute. What was the nature of the testing in Joseph's life. I believe the nature of the testing in Joseph's life was a matter of trust. And I'm prophesying to this group of precious leaders, I felt the very same thing even before I got to Canada. I believe that the issue between you and God is trust. Someone say amen. Again, I think I'm prophesying to you. I'm going to ask each of you, are you trusting Him? This is a big order. Some of us are trusting God with our lives, with our children, with our finances, with our ministry. This is heavy-duty stuff. I think I understand what I'm saying. I'm asking you, are we going to trust Him? Are we going to believe Him, regardless of the situation? I believe the Lord is asking us that question. Are we really gonna believe Him? I believe the Lord is saying, are you going to patiently endure? You don't hear too many sermons about that, but 95% of my life has been patient endurance. I get a mountaintop experience now and then, don't you? But my life has basically been patiently enduring. I believe we're being tested, church, in the trust factor. I believe we're being tested in the patience area. And I hear the Lord saying, are you willing to die to your vision? I got to be honest, I don't want a vision that's not God's. I want to die to my vision. I want to die to my agenda. I don't want my agenda anymore. My agenda doesn't work. I want God's vision for my life. I'll do whatever you want me to do, Lord. Let me know what you want me to do, and I'll do that. I want your agenda. I don't want my agenda anymore. We've all had agendas. I've had numerous agendas. I look back at myself as a young lad just starting out in ministry. My ministry was nothing about God. It was about me. It was about my agenda. And I'm 52 years old now, and I look back with great regret at how I expected God to bless my agenda. I want His agenda now. I want His vision for my life. I believe that God is speaking to you about your vision. And I'm going to say things that you might not like. Whose vision do you have? Whose agenda do you have? Whose will are you carrying out? Listen to this in the life of Joseph. God said, Joseph, you're going up. You're going to be the big cheese, Joseph. You're going to be the top dog, son, the brightest star. Well, Joseph went down, way down. In fact, you couldn't go any lower than Joseph went. Joseph became a lifer in prison. This wasn't a minimum security country club facility. So on the heels of his prophetic destiny, his awesome prophetic promise of the numero uno, the top dog, he went down, way down. God said, Joseph, everything's going to be fine from this point on. Everything got worse. God said, Joseph, everything now is going to move along. And Joseph got demoted by many standards. And remember this, church, he did nothing wrong. I want to say this to each of you. You've not done anything wrong. What you're going through is not punishment, says the Lord. You're just being tested. The next insight that I'd like to give you about prophecy is that prophecy is not about details. It's not about details. Some of you are frustrated because you want prophecy to be about the details. It's never been about the details in my life. Prophecy is an overview. It just gives you an area, an idea of what God wants you to do with your life. He leaves it up to you to work out the details. Are you hearing me? Some of you are waiting for detail. I need God to tell me what to do. No, you've got a strategy. You've got a blueprint. Go out and do what you know to do. Work on the details. Figure out the details. Get what I'm saying? If God's told you to build something, then figure out how you're going to build it. If God's given you a prophetic blueprint or a strategy for a city, go ahead and take the city. But you work out the details. You're waiting for God to do it. God ain't going to do it because prophecy is not about the details. Let me prove that to you. Joseph had two prophetic dreams. In the prophetic dreams, God said, Joseph, you're going to end up way over here. Way over here. You're going to end up way over here. You're going to be the top dog. Hallelujah. The chief star and the chief stalk of grain. How many remember that story? Right? God failed to mention a few of the details. Now listen, this happens to me. It's very frustrating until you get this. God's not going to give you the details you want. So get up and do what you know to do. Take your prophecies, war with them, let them be a strategy, let them be a blueprint, and get on with it. Is that okay for me to say that? Get on with it. In case you haven't noticed, you ain't getting any younger. Right? We're not getting thinner. We're not growing more hair. Right? We're not getting younger. We're getting older. So it's time to be about our Father's business. So, some of you are waiting for details. I find it fascinating what God did not say to Joseph and David. Awesome. God failed to mention to Joseph, with his awesome prophetic pronouncement of Joseph being the top dog, God failed to mention that his parents would react against Joseph. God failed to mention that his brothers would grow to despise Joseph. God never mentioned that. God failed to mention they would try to kill him, actually conspire to kill him, and then Reuben got a little change of heart and said, man, if we kill Joseph, it'll break our dad's heart. God failed to mention that. God failed to mention the pit or the well. Never mentioned that in Joseph's dreams. God failed to mention the Midianite slave traders. A small detail. God never mentioned that. God never mentioned Potiphar. God never mentioned Egypt at all. God never mentioned Potiphar's wife. God never mentioned the dungeons of Pharaoh where Joseph spent a 10-year stint. Come on. God never even mentioned the forgetful butler. God never mentioned any of those things to Joseph. Because prophecy is not about details. It's about the outcome. You know the outcome. The Lord would say, you know the outcome, so get on with it. You know what you're supposed to do, get on with it. Have some faith. Faith is an action. Faith is an action. Faith is an action. Do something. Take the land. Possess it. Occupy till He comes. Be active, be fruitful, be productive, be successful. You're waiting for details. It ain't going to happen. Listen to this. Same thing happened with David. Same thing happened with David. His natural circumstances also reversed. I said they reversed immediately after he was anointed king through the prophet Samuel. David, like you, was being tested. Again, David did not get the details from God. Listen to this. He walked out of that room. The prophet Samuel had just laid hands on him. He was the newly anointed, appointed, and ordained king of Israel. Wow. God failed to mention to David that Saul would immediately begin to resent him and bitterly, even violently, try to take David out. See, some of you would have given up. I thought everybody was going to love me. I thought when I was called of God, everybody would like me. Everybody would love me. I don't understand this. David must have thought, this is ministry? You know what? It is. What you're living right now, that's ministry. This is ministry. Ministry is service to others at the expense of self. This is ministry. It's not what you think it was. It's not in the front room with your dad and your brothers and the prophet Samuel laying hands on you. That's not ministry. Ministry is when Saul tries to kill you and you have to flee for your life. Ministry is when you've got to run to Philistia just to hang out with the Philistines so you can survive. That's ministry. David had to pretend he was mad just to escape with his life. See, God never mentioned these things. God never said, now Samuel, oh yeah, and David, I've got some details. I know I've ordained you as king, but listen to this. Saul's going to hate you real, real soon. Samuel never said that. And David, you're going to have to flee Israel to go to Philistia to survive. Samuel never said that. Oh, and David, the Lord would say, you're also going to have to act like you're mad just to escape with your life once you're in the land of the Philistines for a while. You're going to have to fake like you lost your mind just to get your life out of there. Samuel never prophesied that. Oh, and David, one more detail. You're going to end up in a cave with 400 complainers. You see, Samuel never prophesied. Get what I'm saying? Some of you are discouraged because you can't believe the hell you've gone through. It's normal. It's common. This is the way it works. God never told David he'd have to roam in the wilderness for 19 years. In the wilderness. He wasn't on TV in the Crystal Cathedral or with Willard in Winnipeg on Christian TV. Come on. He was in the wilderness running for his life on the heels of an awesome prophetic word. Why? Because prophecy is not about details. Prophecy is not about the where you arrive. It's not about the end of the journey. All of these things happened. Now get me. All of these things happened on the heel of Joseph and David hearing from God. You're okay. You're normal. God has everything under control. There's nothing wrong with you. Keep doing what you're doing. Do more of what you're doing. Get out there and do what God's told you to do. If you've got some general prophetic outlines or blueprints, hallelujah. But the details are up to you to figure out. God ain't going to give them to you. If your life's gone in the opposite direction, cheer up. If you don't understand why the bottom has fallen out, get in line. This is normal. Will you have questions about your prophecies? You bet. Do I? You betcha. I think some of them are God and some of them are not. I think some of them are going to come to pass and I think some of them never will. That's what I think. But I'm going to find the good ones and I'm going to war with them because this stuff is real. Will you have doubts about your prophetic words? Absolutely. You bet. Will you want to give up? Absolutely. You bet. Will you think and feel like God has forgotten you? Absolutely. You bet. I have. But I stand today, my confession of faith is, God is real. God will not fail. He cannot lie. And He will fulfill His word in your life. But the details are up to you. So the Lord would say, get up and get off your sanctified Canadian behinds and do what God has outlined you are to do. Do it with all your might. Do it for His glory. He will envision you. He will empower you. He will enable you. He will equip you. He will give you great success in what you do for Him. You cannot fail, says the Lord. I believe that. You cannot fail. You cannot fail. I believe that. I'm prophesying to you. You cannot fail. Do what He has called you to do. You cannot fail. God moved heaven and earth to make Joseph a success. God moved heaven and earth to make David a success. God took Jesus, if you will, and moved heaven and earth and made Him a success. Someone that lived with his folks and made furniture for a living. And he got his start at a wedding. You are not too late. You are not going to miss the call of God for your lives. But some of you are waiting for prophecies to come to pass. Some never will because of various factors. Others never will because they weren't good in the first place. But there's a third category. Those prophecies will come to pass. God will do it, but you've got a part to play. Okay. So why is all this happening in your life? Again, you're being tested. Remember, there just might be some stuff in you that God wants to get out. Remember, there's always the issue of trust and patience, attitudes and issues. And I don't know about you, but typically God takes way too long to do everything in my life. So again, we're learning today that prophecy is more about the final destination than the journey. Prophecy is more about the final outcome, then the many details. And now to get into the real nitty-gritty before lunch. One reason why some of your personal prophecies don't come to pass ever is because you simply have failed a test. You have failed a test of trust. Perhaps you have failed a test of attitude or of other issues in your life. You have perhaps failed the patience test or the wilderness test or the time test. I'm here to tell you, I have failed some of these same tests. Some prophecies cannot be fulfilled because we have failed the test. The children of Israel failed their test. King Saul failed his test. Does that mean you're done? No. It means you get up, you repent, and you ask the Lord to re-envision you and re-empower you and re-supernaturalize you and get you up to take Moose Jaw for the kingdom of God, to take Saskatoon for the kingdom of God, to get cowboys converted for the kingdom of God. Get what I'm saying? It's time to get up and to get re-supernaturalized and do what God has called us to do.
Lord, you know I need a brand new touch. My strength from yesterday is gone. But if you'll give me, Lord, another touch, I'll have the strength to carry on. Lord, you know I need a brand new touch. My strength from yesterday is gone. But if you'll give me, Lord, another touch, I'll have the strength to carry on. But all too soon he went away, and in its place the storm clouds came, and with the clouds there came the rain. It rained so hard and all so long, amidst the storm I felt a calm. It was your touch that brought me through it all. Without your help I'd surely fall. Lord, you know I need a brand new touch.
Global Air Force wants you. Be a part of the Global Air Force Radio Ministry. Please go to our website at www.globalairforce.net. That's www.globalairforce.net. Now, with your host, Jim Rohn.
If this program today has been a blessing to you and helped you, and you would like to support this ministry, you can send a gift easily by getting on our webpage, and there's a donate button there. Our webpage is www.globalairforce.net. Once again, our webpage is globalairforce.net, and you can easily and quickly send a gift to support this ministry.
Without your help, I'd surely fall. Thank you for